There's so many bottlenecks and hurdles. It's freely available for them to put together a proposal and to apply to get free product into country. But things like taxes, not having adequate staff at clinics and all that are really hampering getting product into countries. It's unlike when you think of the old treatment days when there was the shortage of product. Now it's the other way around. The product is available, but the delivery is not there. So, and I think our as advocates, we should start putting on the pressure with governments to come to the party around choice. I think we've said a lot about demand creation, and I'm in agreement. We need to go back to community-based work. We can't be advocating from our computers and, advocate speaking to the choir, as they always say. We're missing out on a lot of people in our communities. Over.
Thank you very much. You talk about people that we are missing, and you talk about advocacy. How we managed with HIV, it is because us who are HIV positive, we did not sleep. We were fighting for our lives. But I want to ask Barry, as a young person, how would you like us to support you as young people to lead this agenda, to take on the advocacy that they are talking about, to make sure that the products that people have fought for, scientists have given us, developers have given, are not just out there, but they are in within reach of young people?
Okay, thanks a lot, Lillian Moleku, for that question. As a young woman in demand creation for HIV prevention, this means moving beyond simply targeting them as recipient of information and instead parenting with the young people as advocates and leaders. In order to capture young people and attention, we all know to capture young people's attention is very hard. So personally, I feel we need to make advocacy more engaging. Like we need to use things like sports or arts. During those activities, it is easier to disseminate information because you capture, even before the main activity day, you capture people's attention and you make them attend for that activity. So for use of sports and arts, personally for young person, it will make me come there and attend the activities. So another thing is the use of digital platforms. We already have them. And the problem is we might have them and there's need of having more skills of using them. So there's need of teaching them how to use those different skills, because how TikTok works is not the way Instagram works and also the Twitter spaces. So there's need to teach them on how to record those small videos, maybe on how to wear the DVR and show them. And with that, you can be in a position to teach a lot of women and a lot of people outside there. And then the last thing is use of gamification. Like now there's a lot of game cards that is going around. Like there's cards for mental health, there's cards for SRHR. Now there's need of coming up with maybe cards of different prevention choices that we have. And maybe during that session, you make it more lively for girls, and it is easier for you to attach to acquire information through those sessions and maybe ask. And if you're in need of accessing those services, they have the facilities where you can access those services. So we need to make our demand creation to become more lively and maybe like maybe making the young people to be active in those spaces. So we need to use like sports and games to maybe capture them. So there's feel I don't know how to make it or to put it. There's that small advertisement that they are in our social media. So you can be doing something in your phone, then I don't know, they are called the clickbaits. Then they bring you something, maybe something catchy. Maybe have you ever used PrEP, or a question like, do you know there are more options more than condom? So you click maybe something to do with a link, then the link might take you to maybe other prevention choices. So we need to make this demand creation for HIV prevention to be more engaging. Back to you, Lillian.
Thank you very, very much. And I'm now going to turn to our panelists, giving each one of you 45 minutes to give your final words. I'll start from Yvette, Shannon, Leonard, and then Michelle, and then I hand it over to Dr. Lillian to round off this webinar.
Thank you so much, Lillian. And I think my parting words is around, and it's not 45 minutes, you scared me, maybe 2 minutes or less. I think it's
45 seconds. I'm sorry.
okay. I think it's important that we should, at this point where we are with regards to with the cuts, be resolute as women, be resolute as advocates that HIV prevention should not be the scapegoat. We are not going to give up on HIV prevention, nor are we going to give up on research. I like what I've heard here is that if prevention methods are tested, we don't test them to be on shelves. We don't test them to be, in documents. We test them specifically to become available to the women who participated in the science and to ensure they become available. And if there are challenges that we are facing, we should find solutions together. No research option should be on a shelf. Lastly, I would like just to say that as advocates at this time as well, we need to really have our eyes on our integration in our communities. What does that mean, and what does this mean to us? Thank you so much.
Thank you, Shannon.
Yeah, I think it's really a difficult moment, obviously, but it's an exciting moment because I do think that there are a lot of opportunities before us. And one of the things I think could be game changing is looking at how we integrate more PrEP more effectively within sexual and reproductive health services, within GBV services, and look at how communities really leading in the design and delivery of these products. So I think that there are a lot of possibilities still on the table, and that we can be successful as advocates, as a global community, working to ensure that these products get into the hands of people who need them.
Thank you very much. Leonard?
Thanks, Lillian. Just one thing. I hope that as an advocacy community, despite the cuts and despite so many changes and organizations closing, that there's still the ground force and there's still the will among the advocates to continue joining forces and continue keeping up the fight and continue doing the work. The saddest thing would be the amount of power and the amount of work that we've done being lost. So I'm appealing to everyone on this call that we continue being that strong family that we've always been.
Thank you so much. And lastly, Michelle.
I think I just end with we need to promote choice. There's so many, I mean, the speakers who spoke ahead of me really have said, have captured so many of the key messages. But I really just want to, having the last word, I have the benefit to have the last word and just say we need to promote choice. And the best prevention option is an option that a person will use. So that's all I have to say. Thank you so much, Lillian.
Thank you so much. And Dr. Lillian, please round up for us.
Thank you so much, Lillian, and our panelists, but also participants, for such a great session we have had together, the great questions you've asked. But also, I've highlighted a few key takeaways from the discussion we have had today. So, we heard from WHO on the guidance regarding long-acting prevention technologies, implementation, and how important options must coexist for us to be able to sustain the gains in HIV prevention. Choice runs the show in terms of increasing uptake of HIV prevention services. But also, it was really great to hear about how lenacapavir studies included safety data for pregnant and breastfeeding individuals early on, so we don't have to worry about that or go back to research for certain groups to be able to access these services once they're available. But also, we have explored how specific long-acting options such as DVR go beyond biomedical aspects or purpose in terms of prevention, but also addressing some of behavioral societal issues that affect women and increase vulnerabilities such as gender-based violence, and how important it is to allow room for these options to step in when condom negotiations prove in vain. But also, we've heard about how some of these choices are highly preferred and they have high adherence in comparison to other methods of choice. So I think it goes back to the importance of choice and giving people the options to decide what works for them for high adherence as well. We've heard about integration of HIV and SRIH and how we have other innovations and clinical studies going on in terms of coming up with combination long-acting options that may address more than one issue affecting women, such as HIV and contraception, for instance. We have seen the crucial role of feminism in HIV prevention, how it's important for us to address HIV prevention for women from a comprehensive point of view. We look at a woman as a whole and other issues that are affecting them, making sure that we're able to support them and center choice in the way that we're able to give them access to prevention. As we were at this point, we were given a reference to the Choice Manifesto, and I would like to quote a line that I love from the manifesto. When it comes to HIV prevention, choice is not a luxury. It's a right, so we need to uphold that. As countries plan for the introduction of lenacapavir and other long-acting prevention technologies, considerations must include population-specific needs, differentiated service delivery models, demand generation activities that has come up a lot in our conversations today, but also provider training and, most importantly, community engagement. We can't move forward without communities. And then I've picked out collaborative investments in scaling up PrEP options, including long-acting prevention technologies. We can't have resources and donors operate in silos. I think this also echoes the importance of domestic resources, investments as at country levels to make sure that we are also to sus we're also able to sustain access to prevention services, even in absence of donor support at some point. Young people love to be and feel supported. I wouldn't echo this more. As mentioned by Beryl, information is power. We need to involve young people in demand creation and need to make long-acting options not only available, but also accessible for these young people in our communities. We need to make HIV prevention a lifestyle and cool for young people not to feel as though they're showing up for something out of their daily order of, being lively and enjoying life generally. And with that, I would like to take this moment to thank our panelists today for showing up and making time to be a part of this webinar. We really couldn't do this without you, but also the organizers, a great work done, but also most importantly, our participants for showing up as well. Thank you so much. Until next time, I think that also marks the end of our webinar for today. Bye.